In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus sure knew that one day we would have a lot of things that might cause us to worry in America. And so he, in the Sermon on the Mount, tells us in this passage 5 reasons not to worry. We read the text, but I want you to go back to verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, Jesus is talking, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. Take no thought. 6 times he uses that phrase in Matthew 6, Jesus does. He says, take no thought, take no thought, take no thought. Repetition aids learning. What does take no thought mean? Well, that's a Shakespearean phrase during the, of course, translation time of the King James, kind of a Jacobian type phrase. And it means do not worry. Take no thought, Jesus said, 6 times. And in these 6 times in this passage, he gives us a reason why we should not worry. I remember when we planted Falls Baptist Church, we were meeting in the bank building. And on Sunday night, we'd have favorites. We'd get our little Sinkspiration booklet. People would raise their hand. And I remember one little boy years ago who raised his hand. He gave me the number. I was a song leader. Of course, you get nervous when a child gives you the number. What's it going to be? Is it going to be, you know, Joy to the World or whatever? So I opened it up, and we sang it. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus. He'll show the way. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Just rest upon his promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? And he sang it in his little 4-year-old voice. Why worry when you can play? Trust Jesus. And we all loved it, and it was spoke to all of our hearts. That little boy, Joshua Waltz, is now a big guy. He's a pastor out in Colorado, graduate of Maranatha Baptist Bible College. But I learned from even that little song that God has an alternative to me worrying. He has an alternative to me waking up in the middle of the night. And we all do it. We're all going to continue to do it. You're not going to have victory just because we studied this morning, and neither will I. That's a fact. We have the flesh. But there's an alternative. And that alternative is to seek first the kingdom of God and focus on Him. Jesus says here, here's some reasons not to worry. If you look at verse 25, the first reason is this. Worry is needless. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your what? Life. What ye shall eat, drink, your body, what ye shall put on. Is not your life more than meat and the body than raiment? He's saying, you know, it's really needless to worry. Because God gave you your life. This is an argument from the greater to the lesser. Jesus was a skilled attorney when it comes to preaching and arguing, you might say. He said, where'd you get your life anyway? Did you manufacture your own life? It came directly from God. So if God gives you life, doesn't it make simple common sense that He'll give you what you need to sustain that life? Why are you worried about it? Why are you worried about food, clothing, and shelter, the basic needs of life? It's needless to worry. God is the giver of life. God will sustain until He has chosen to take you home. So, reason number one not to worry, it is needless. Reason number two is found in verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air. Jesus said, hey, look at the birds out there in the trees. They sow not. Neither do they reap nor gather into barns. However, your heavenly Father feedeth them. How about you? Aren't you better than the birds? Are you not much better than they? Now, here is the argument from the lesser to the greater. Jesus said, look at the birds out there. What do the birds do? Do they get themselves involved in the leading processes of agriculture, which would be sowing and reaping and gathering into barns? No, they don't do any of that. But your heavenly Father feeds them. I believe the key here is the word Father. When Jesus looked at them and said, your heavenly Father, you know what he was saying? The birds don't have a heavenly Father. God is not the father of the birds. I'm sure you've heard. I know your pastor. I know how he preaches the truth, all of it. And I know you've heard about the universal fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man. You know, which says we're all God's children, and so we're all brothers. It's not true. We are created by God. We're God's creation. But we do not become children of God until one time in our life, by simple faith, we turn from ourselves and our sin, put all our faith for heaven in the finished work of Jesus, and we receive Jesus as our personal Savior. That's called the new birth. So when you do that, then you can say, He is my Heavenly Father. So Jesus said, think about the fact the birds are taken care of. I remember I was in a car by myself. I think I was headed to visit a church, and I was in North Carolina. I do remember that. I was going down the freeway, and I was, worried about something. I'm not sure what I was worried about. And all of a sudden, a bird flew down in front of my car and smacked the windshield and fell over. He was probably gone. You know, I figured that's it. I didn't call 911 and do CPR. This bird's dead. And, you know, immediately God said, hey, Dave, what are you worried about? I knew that that bird fell. I told you that in Scripture. I know when the sparrow falls. I'll take care of you because I am your father through faith in Jesus Christ. Remember when you were a kid, your father could do everything, you know, build the birdhouse, build the doghouse, he could solve the math problem. Well, not me, but some guys could do that. And, why my dad? Your father, Heavenly Father, is the perfect father. If he could create the heavens and the earth in six literal days and rest on the seventh, don't you think he can take care of that thing you're worried about? You've heard all the classic quotes about worry. You know, worry is like a rocking chair. You know, it'll keep you busy and active, but really won't get you anywhere. It won't solve anything. Think about your Heavenly Father. Focus on who God is. We sang about who God is this morning. God is, well, he's immutable. He never changes. We change. I do. There are times I'm rejoicing in the Lord. There are times, oh, no, I'm worrying. This is wrong. We change. God never changes. He's omnipresent. No matter where we are, he is there. You can be sitting in the doctor's office and he gives you a report that you'd rather not hear, and you can say, wait a minute, God is here. He's all around me. As I stand in the pulpit this morning and I beg God to help me to say things that will help and not hurt, I bank on the fact that behind me is God. He's over here. He's around here. If we knock out these walls, he's out there. We go on and on and on with our viewpoint. He is omnipresent. What am I worried about? God's here. So worry is senseless, verse 26. Senseless. Needless, verse 25. Senseless, verse 26. You have a Heavenly Father. Man and wife driving in the country. They're going to visit somebody they hadn't visited in a long time. While they're driving along, she remembers, hey, honey, remember that bridge? Last time we were here, whew, that rickety old bridge, we barely made it across. What's going to happen when we get to that bridge? I mean, if we crash, and who's going to take care of the kids if you die? And who's going to take care of me? What are we going to do? And they worried about it for about 35, 40 minutes. They got to the bridge, and what do you think they found? The bridge had been rebuilt. It was in great shape. They spent a whole lot of energy that they could have used in productive things, even for God, praying, thinking right ways, and they found out they were wasting their time. Look at verse 27. Worry is not only senseless and needless, but verse 27 says it is useless. Useless. Which of you, says Jesus, by taking thought, worrying, anxious care, can add one cubit unto his stature. Now, what does that mean? Well, we know literally a cubit was about 18 inches. Some people say that's a figurative thing, and it's talking about adding years to your life. So either way, I think about literally, can I stand before the mirror and say, you know, Lord, you didn't make me tall enough, and I want you to make me at least a foot taller. So I'm going to stand in front of the mirror and worry about it. And if I'll just worry and worry and worry, all of a sudden I'll get taller and I'll start growing. Jesus had a sense of humor, I believe. And I think he was saying, worry is useless. You can't worry your body into growing. We worry so many times even about our bodily needs, and that's okay. We need to take care of our body. Claudia and I are taking care. We're very careful. We've been that way for years. I think it's kind of paying off now in the later years, now that I'm 39, you know, and 39 plus. Just had my 70th birthday almost a year ago. But we're not careful in nutrition so we can live longer. God knows how long we're going to live, but we do want to have a quality of life that will help us to serve God with all the energy we need as long as he'll let us do that. So it's okay to take care of your bodily needs, but the fact is, no matter how much you think and worry and concentrate on that, it's not going to solve the problem that you're not as tall as you wish you were. That applies to any of our problems. Worry will not solve the problem that you're facing right now, maybe at work, or a problem with your kids or your grandkids, or maybe an expectant mother, wonder how the child's going to be. I'm worrying about that. What should we do? Do our best for God and leave the results to God. And he will use the results to glorify himself. Worry is useless. Look at verse 28. Why take ye thought? Why worry for raiment, what you wear? Jesus said, hey, look at the beautiful flowers. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work. They toil not. Neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, Jesus said, here's the conclusion. If God will clothe the grass of the field, which is temporary, today is, and tomorrow cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Little faith. Jesus is kind of nailing them there. You know what he's saying? He's saying, worry is faithless. It's of little faith. The lilies never work, but they're more beautiful than Solomon. Solomon, who had incredible amount of wealth, beautiful clothing, palaces of cedar wood, furniture overlaid with gold, encrusted with diamonds, cupbearers, horses, chariots, beauty. Jesus said, his beauty's nothing compared to those flowers out there. And those flowers didn't work and labor years to build what Solomon built. And then he said, how about the grass? It's temporary. He was using a illustration they understood, where they would take the grass out of the field, put it in their clay ovens, and set it on fire and use it to cook. He said, that grass is beautiful for a while, but then it's gone. But you are eternal. So when you let worry overtake you, you are imitating the unsaved neighbors who live next door. They do not have Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. They can't claim that. They cannot claim Jesus spared not his own son, shall he not also give to you all things. They can't claim that. They don't have the Holy Spirit living within them to give them peace and victory over anxious care. So he's really getting kind of tough here. And it sure gets me under conviction. When I worry, I'm really acting like the man who's lost, who doesn't have the promises of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, a wonderful church where we can come in fellowship and sing the songs of Zion and be strengthened. He doesn't have all that. And I'm imitating him if I live in anxious care. You see, faith is a man insisting upon thinking rather than feeling. You know, feelings are okay. They're emotions. They're wonderful. And I rejoice in them. But if the devil can get you just to feel and stop thinking, but when you begin to worry, if you say, well, let me look at the Word of God. What does God say? This is God's Word. I'm going to think on those things. Then you may be on the way to conquering those feelings of fear, feelings of doubt. Verse 31, therefore take no thought what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, wherewithal shall ye clothe, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. Woo! When Jesus used the word Gentiles, he was using a very derogatory statement and conclusion. Said, you are like the Gentile dogs. I mean, the non-Jews in that day were the Gentiles. So are we today. We're not Jews. And he was saying, you are godless. Not just faithless, but you are godless. Well, I'm grateful the Lord gives us the solution, doesn't he? I mean, he spent a lot of words saying over and over, don't worry, here's the reason. Don't worry, it's useless. Don't worry, it's needless. Don't worry, it's senseless. Don't worry, it'll accomplish nothing. But then he says in verse 33, but, however, here's what you should do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that I just mentioned, food, clothing, shelter, all the basic needs, they'll be added unto you. Take no thought, therefore, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What is he saying? Our problem in worrying probably is this: wrong focus. When he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, I mean, that can be a mouthful, even a theological mouthful. What does that mean? Well, when he says, and righteousness, he is saying, seek God first, all that God is, all that God can do for you in providing everything you need, and you can conquer anxious care. Rather than let feelings overtake you, focus on God. Just think of the principle, take up your cross daily. That principle of carry your daily load is found much in Scripture. God is not giving any of us the grace we need to make it through Monday morning, because it's not here. He's going to give us the grace we need for today. Think of a young couple that stands up on Wednesday night and says, pray for us. We just took our little girl to the doctor. She has leukemia. Will you pray? Think of the burdens they will face. God will give them grace, one medical test at a time, one trial at a time. That's God's promise. So that's why he says, just take one day at a time, take that load, let God lift it from you and say, Lord, this is your day. I give all to you. I'm going to get up tomorrow morning, starting all over, back into the battle, putting on the whole armor of God. What we do is the devil gets us to look at the forest, you know. We really should be just chopping down one tree at a time. I heard about a little guy who wanted to get a job chopping down trees, you know? And so he went to the big giant lumberjacks. And they look at him and say, what? You're going to be a lumberjack? You little shrimp. Here's an axe. Show us what you can do. So he took that axe. Wham! One fell swoop knocked down that huge tree. They were amazed. Okay, that's good. That's probably lucky. Try it again. He took the axe, did it again. One huge tree down in one fell swoop. And they said, where did you learn how to do that? He said, well, I learned in the Sahara forest. And they said, well, don't you mean the Sahara desert? He said, well, that's what they used to call it. We're overwhelmed by the forest. The forest of what's ahead of us, even in America. The forest, if you have little children, how are they going to make it to the teenage years? What's going to happen to them and my grandkids? God says, one day at a time, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Somebody said, and I'm not a doctor, so I really can't speak authoritatively, but he said, we have a two-sided nervous system. One side is the worrying side, and the other side is the working side. He said, when you're beginning to worry, find something to work on, whether it be prayer, Bible memory, seeking counsel. Go ahead and fix the yard if you're worried about that. And when you turn on the working side, the worrying side is turned off. I think it's pretty accurate. I think that applies to think on these things and seek ye first the kingdom of God.